Checking, you got sound? Good, good. Last time we were together, we were talking about the imagination, and we began to talk about how to expand imagination. We're going to talk about how that your imagination will not be idle or neutral. Either you're going to use your imagination or Satan is going to use your imagination. And here's the most dangerous part about your imagination. Whatever you imagine for your life will come to pass. So now you, it's not whatever you imagine will come to pass. All right, it shall come to pass. So you have to decide for yourself who is going to control your imagination, you or Satan. Now, I really hope if you don't do nothing else all semester, if you don't grab nothing else out of any class all semester, please, 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 I need you to understand what happened to you last week. Amen. I need you to understand what we learned last week. I need you to not only understand it, I need you to grab it, because what Apostle taught us last week on the soul, it even changes, it brings alive some of the stuff that we've been talking about. Sin creates wounds. Wounds allow darkness. All of us have wounds in our soul that we have to use. We have to let the blood of Jesus heal the wounds. The dunamis power of the word of God to come and remove the wounds. And then we have to let the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Thompson says covers our soul, but almost like, I like to say, put a salve on it. Almost like a oil that nothing can stick. Nothing get past it. Nothing can penetrate it. And so we begin to talk about how important it is. You don't have to figure out what to soak or what to soak on. Joshua tells us what to soak on. Out of the mouth of God. Now, once again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want you to grasp the magnitude of how important it is that we not become casual with our spiritual leaders. Jesus says something, and we as Christians take it as a universal truth. But it's not a universal truth. It was a personal truth to Jesus. But we can learn from him and learn the principle he walked in and then apply it to our life. Jesus made this statement. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what the Father says. Now, because of pride and ego and because of having our own agenda, we want to take what Jesus did and make it a universal truth, when actually that was a personal truth for Jesus, but we can take the principle for it. Here's what I mean by that. The assignment and agenda that Jesus was following and had to complete was to die on the cross as a sinless man, as a sacrifice to take on the sins of mankind. Right? We agree on that. That's the whole basis of how we are born again. Right? When Jesus say, I only do what the Father, what I see the Father does, and I only say what the Father tells me to say, that was a personal truth for Jesus, because the only Father that Jesus could follow and remain sinless was God himself. So Jesus was only enacting a principle that God established with Moses and Joshua. How many grabbed that? I explain it a different way. Because of what Jesus had to accomplish, he had to go to the cross sinless. There was no man that Jesus could follow. Because man had sin nature already residing. So Jesus was doing no more than following a principle that God had established with Moses and Joshua. Jesus meditated his Father's words. So what my point is? My point is, we take the principle from Jesus and apply it to our lives, but we can't use it as an excuse to bypass divine order. Is that making sense? So I can't go around saying I only do what God my Father say do. What I see, I only say what he tells me to say. I really can't say that. Because what if Joshua would have said that? If Joshua would have taken on a 21st century mentality of hearing God, that I can hear God for myself, he would have never conquered Jericho. Are you seeing this? My point is our imagination. See, Satan knows this. This is why Satan wants to put a wedge between us and our spiritual leaders. Because our spiritual leaders is God's voice in our lives. Yes, sir. Will God talk to us? Yes, he will. But God is not going to talk to you over your spiritual leader. God will speak to you. Listen to me today. God will speak to you based on what your spiritual leader is saying. See, this is something we have to grab, because if we don't grab this, then Satan ain't got to do nothing else. All he got to do is sit back and watch us. Flounder like a fish out of water. He ain't got to do nothing else. Why? Because we'll be going against divine order. So once we go against divine order, Satan has accomplished his job. Because there ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing, we're not going to progress any further. It is a waste of time. It is a waste of time for you to come to church to hear your man or woman of God and not think again about what they're saying. Right. You don't need to come. God shouldn't have connected you with that person. If God didn't want you to meditate what they were saying, then why would he have you sit there? Is this making sense? See, Apostle Thompson said something Sunday. He said, sonship equals ownership. Soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that he was speaking from the aspect of an apostle understanding sonship. The Holy Spirit took what he said and spoke it to me as a person who's connected to an apostle, being apostolic. So he talked to him from a fatherly position. In other words, he was talking to us, his children. Everything that I own belongs to you. But then the Holy Spirit spoke the same statement to me and added these words. He said, sonship is ownership with accountability. So now me on the sonship end, if I want to own, even though I own everything, I own it with accountability from the Father. Okay, I can't just take, I can't be a prodigal son. Want to take what I can get and then go do what I want with it. Because the whole purpose of ownership in the kingdom of God is to advance the kingdom. Is that making sense? So therefore, it will be divine disorder for your imagination to expand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It will be divine disorder for your imagination to expand without meditating on what your spiritual leader is saying. I hope y'all grabbing what I'm saying. Because what God is really saying is he's defeating his own purpose. He's saying, I connect you to this person, but you don't have to really pay attention to what they're saying because I'm going to talk to you anyway.
Right.
So watch this. If God was to do that, what's the purpose of having divine order?
Right.
So we back to Joshua, the first chapter. Turn now. Verse 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Other words, God was letting Joshua know success was tied into what Moses was saying. Verse 8, this book of the law, the book of the law that come out of Moses' mouth. Now, once again, I'm repeating myself and I'm rehearsing it because I need you to fully grasp the concept of what's happening here. This is God talking to Joshua, telling him, do what Moses say do.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, God, we face to face. God, we talking face to face. Why you ain't telling me this on your own? Why you can't tell me? You here? We right here? God, we face to face. Why are you not telling me? Why are you not saying anything to me? You telling me I got to pay attention to Moses. But God, we're face to face. So now that leads me to this. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with God. He's still not going to bypass divine order. Now, mind you, Joshua was with Moses all the time. So Joshua knew the presence of God. Matter of fact, Joshua was in the presence of God with Moses a lot of time. But God still turned around, came face to face with Joshua and said, look, you're going to do what Moses say do. So now, if we don't move from just a casual relationship with our spiritual leaders into actually having sonship. And watch this, treating our spiritual leaders' words as gospel. Mm-hmm. All right. I knew I would get a little shaky on that one. Every last one of us in here got born again because of what Jesus did, not what Jesus said. Because based on Jesus and the four gospels, you never find out how to get born again. How you found out how to get born again? Romans 10. Who wrote Romans 10? Paul, who was a man called by Jesus Christ. That's how you found out how to get born again. Let's take it further than this. Every last one of you remember when you got born again, where you was? You didn't even know at the time that Paul wrote the Bible. You didn't know he wrote that in Romans. It was somebody who quoted Romans. And you had to trust what they said.
What you said.
In order to get born again. So now, if the principle works to get you born again, why wouldn't the principle work to get you to your destiny?
Yeah, that's good.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we have to. Now, you're the one that has to decide. You're the one that has to have the expectation that my spiritual leader is going to impart God's word to me. You're the one that has to decide that. Because it's not, watch this. It's not based on the spiritual leader, because they're going to speak the oracles of God anyway. But it's based on your expectation and your belief whether or not it's the oracles of God to you. Mm-hmm. You say, prove that to me. Well, Jesus went to his own hometown, right, and he could do no mighty works. Right. He couldn't heal nobody. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Just before the chapter before, Jesus was healing everybody he came in contact with. Right. So how come he can heal everybody he got in contact with before, and you get to this spot, and all of a sudden the power ain't working? It's not that the power ain't working. It's that the receivers had a casual relationship with Jesus Christ. Anytime you feel that you're not getting revelation knowledge from your spiritual leader, it's not the spiritual leader's fault. It's my fault. Because I've just become casual in listening for what God is saying through them. It's just making sense. So a lot of times our imagination becomes capped because we do not allow the words of our spiritual leaders to shape. I need you to see this. Matter of fact, go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. First Kings 19. I'm spending a lot of time on this with your imagination because we're in the body of Christ. If we're going to be apostolic, we have to be apostolic. We can't be apostolic when we want to and be independent when we want to. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We can't want the apostolic or the government of God to benefit us when we want to. And then when we don't want to be apostolic or don't want to be governed, we don't. Either we're going to be apostolic or we're not going to be apostolic. You can't have both. Are you seeing this? 1 Kings 19, watch this, I want you to see this. And the importance of meditating the words of your leader. Let's go to verse 15. Let's see if that's it. Yeah. This is God talking to Elijah. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Verse 17, it shall come to pass that when him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And verse 18, God is telling Elijah, he's not by himself. I have left me 7,000 Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Verse 19, so he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed him and cast his mantle upon him. Now I want you to see, there's three things God told Elijah to do. I want you to see this. I want you to see the importance of meditating the words of your leader. Because meditating, the reason why God designed it this way is so that his agenda can be accomplished throughout generations. So when I say meditating and imagination, it's just not about you. It's not about what you need to get accomplished. It's about what God wants to do through you. Are you seeing this? So three things God told Elijah to do. One, he told him to anoint Hazael, right? Verse 15, to be king over Syria. You see this? Number two, he's going to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, right? And number three, Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abihamihalah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Three things, right? Go to 2 Kings. Chapter 9. Verse 1. Verse 19 showed us who's still in 1 Kings. Who's still there? So I want you to read it for me. I want you to, anybody still in 1 Kings? Anybody get back there real quick where we just left? 1 Kings? You got it? Read verse 19 for me.
So he departed thence.
So he departed thence.
And found Elisha.
The son of Shaphat. That's good enough. So he found Elisha. There's three things he got to do. Anoint Hazael. Right? Anoint Jehu. And anoint Elisha. To be a prophet in his room. Notice I'm on side journey. Notice God didn't say in my room. He say in thy room. Other words, under your apostolic house. Are you seeing this? So that means that Elisha was going to hear, not only learn, but hear the voice of God through Elijah. Because God said, I want you to anoint him to be a prophet in thy room. So we see in the 19th verse, he went and found Elisha, right? That's one thing, right? How many things he got to do?
Three.
Look at 2 Kings 9, verse 1. And Elisha, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, make him arise up from among brethren, his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Take the box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus said the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. Did y'all catch on to what happened?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all catch on to what happened? Who did the anointing?
He passed it on to me.
Who did the anointing? Who commissioned it?
Elisha.
Well, but I thought God told Elijah. I thought God told Elijah to anoint Jehu. But here we read it's Elisha. What done happened here? Oh, what done happened? Wait a minute now. Even clearer. Watch this. Go to 2 Kings, back to the 8th chapter. Now watch this statement. Now this is the Bible. Verse 7, and Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick, and was told him, saying, the man of God has come thither. And the king said unto Hazael, the name sound familiar? Yeah. All right. Take a present in thy hand and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of the disease? And, verse 10, and who?
Elisha.
Elisha. said unto him, go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit the Lord has showed. Wait a minute now. There's some confusion here. Listen a minute. There's some confusion here. Elisha is saying the Lord showed me. But I thought we read in 1 Kings 19 that God told Elijah. What happened? I hope y'all are catching this. Elisha was focused on what God had told Elijah so that he could finish the assignment of Elijah. So in order for him to finish the assignment of Elijah, he had to be meditating the words of Elijah. Is this making sense? See, we've come to this individualistic gospel where we're trying to get a word for ourselves and we're trying to get our problems solved and we're trying to expand our imagination. What God, what do you have for me? God, what's your will for my life? Instead of just asking God, what's your will? Instead of asking God, God, what's your word? What are you saying, God? Elisha did not try to develop his own ministry, even though we recognize that he was. But God told Elijah to do three things. He only accomplished one. Elisha did the other two. So how, wait a minute, here's the question. Because Elisha made this statement. He said, God showed me. But I thought, sure, we read in 1 Kings 19 that God was talking to Elijah before Elisha ever got in the picture. So, thank you, Holy Spirit. So when Elisha said, God showed me, he was actually saying, Elisha revealed to me what God was saying.
My God.
is this making sense? So now, a lot of the solutions to dilemmas that are in our lives, all the solutions are within our spiritual leader's mouth. Now, that's a mouthful I just said. Because Elisha said, God showed me. Right? But God had talked to Elijah about doing it. So for him to say, God showed me, that means he had to find out from Elijah and then God began to expand on it. Now, how can God expand on something you don't think about? How can God expand understanding something you don't give a second thought to? Matter of fact, it went even deeper than what Elijah was told. God told Elijah, I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Elijah said, God showed me that you're going to be king over Syria, but you're going to mess over the people. And you ain't going to do right. And Hazael went back to the king that sent him and murdered him. Elijah was given order to do three things, but he only accomplished one. And trusted Elisha to accomplish the other two. Now, how much has God revealed to our spiritual leaders to do? And it hadn't been accomplished because we dropped the ball. Not only us dropping the ball, but we can't get answers to dilemmas that are in our lives because we refuse to have ownership with accountability. We refuse to have, I want the grace, but I don't want him telling me what to do with the grace. Yeah, I'm a partaker of Paul's grace. Yeah, I'm a partaker of my spiritual leader's grace, but he or she ain't going to tell me what to do with this grace. I won't be like the prodigal son. I want the grace to go do what I want with it. Is this making sense? What that does, it creates continuity in God's agenda being accomplished. Because he gave Elijah three things to do. But watch this. But Elisha finished 2/3 of it. It was almost stopped right there because Gehazi wanted ownership without accountability. I really hope this is making sense. So on a Sunday morning, you can't take your pastor just preach another sermon. Even, watch this, even if it's delegated authority, I'm not just sitting there saying, we're just trying to make it through this Sunday because pastor not here.
Right.
Because Naaman had that same mentality.
Right.
When Gehazi come out to give him the message that Elisha sent out, the instruction Elisha sent out, told him about dip, he was like, what, the man of God ain't come to see me himself? And then he going to tell me I got to go dip in the dirtiest river? If it wasn't for his little maidservant telling, hey, it could have been worse. You know, at least you could do this. And I mean, it ain't a hard instruction. So you at least do the instruction. So me receiving the instructions, my imagination expanding is connected to how receptive I am to my man or woman of God's words. If I just come to church whenever we meet and I just say, oh, I'm here. So nah, that's it. I'm just here. I'm here. And your expectation is not there. Then you ain't going to get nothing. You ain't going to hear nothing. It's going to sound common to you. But if you come there with an expectation with God, this is my man or woman of God. I trust their relationship with you. So I'm praying for them that they speak your oracles so I have something to chew on.
Amen.
Because the answer to my life's dilemmas is in what they say to me.
Right.
My imagination cannot expand until I'm given something to chew on. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So our imagination cannot grow. I thank you, Holy Spirit. However much you are apostolic, that's how large your imagination can grow. However much apostolic you're willing to be, that's how much your imagination grows. Now, once your imagination becomes shaped, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. Whatever you imagine is going to happen. That's how God designed it. That's why he says, cast down those thought, every high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's why last week was so important about the wounds. Having wounds in your soul. Now I truly understand why God hates sin. It's not because he don't want you to do nothing. It's because sin causes wounds. The Bible says, I think it's Romans, the 6th chapter, 22nd verse, that the wages of sin or the payment of sin is separation. Mm-hmm. We think it's, you sin, you're going to die. No, it's just saying you separated from God's mind for you. Mm-hmm. You can't get God's mind having wounds. So now watch how this works. You don't have to try to figure out what to soak on. Mm-hmm. You don't try to figure that out. What my pastor talking about?
Right.
That give me a starting point. What my pastor starting out? Now God, once you get to soaking and once you get to meditating, and once you get to going, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me about this. Pastor Bishop Robinson, I was listening to him yesterday, and he made this statement. He said, here I am, I'm meditating the word of God with wounds on my soul. He said, which didn't do me no good because I didn't take care of the wounds first. So here I am meditating the word of God with wounds. He said, by the time I finished meditating, I had talked myself out of what I started meditating about. So pleading the blood of Jesus over your soul to begin to deal with those wounds, taking the dunamis power of God to remove those wounds, and then you let the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, come and shine light to keep away the darkness. Now God can freely talk to you and give you insight to stuff you know you never had no idea he wanted to give you insight to. So I don't have to jump all over the Bible trying to figure out. Look, God made it very simple, very simple. What was Apostle Thomas talking on Sunday? Or what was Pastor Philip talking on Sunday? Wherever your man or woman of God, what they were talking about on Sunday. That's where I start. And once I start there, God can take me everywhere I want to go. Why? Because I started off, listen to me very carefully. I started off from a place of accountability. I'm not trying to develop nothing on my own. I'm not trying to figure nothing out on my own. I'm starting off. Here's the way I feel. When Apostle Thompson, if he don't want me to have it, don't tell me. If he don't want me to, if because once he let the revelation go, I now own it. So once I own it, now I can begin to meditate it. Right? I own it, but I own it with accountability. Other words, if I get in error or if I get out of pocket on the revelation that he's given, he has a right to come and tell me you need to get this straight. He has a right to come speak in my life and say you need to change this. You need to do this. And a lot of times that's God helping you get rid of wounds. But once again, the current church is, just come preach to me and leave me alone. My God. Come preach to me. I want to own what you're saying. I want everything you're saying is mine, but I don't want to be held accountable. And that's not how God works. That's not how God does things. God does things. You can own everything I have, but you're going to be held accountable. This is why I can't give you instructions outside of divine order. This is why Joshua couldn't get Jericho outside of meditating Moses. This is why Elisha couldn't get a double portion unless God knew he had committed to finishing the other two. That's why Elisha was able to get a double portion. Because God knew that Elisha was committed to the agenda. He had meditated what Elijah said so much. Because Elijah had to have talked about it. He had to have talked and rehearsed how God told him, the Lord told me to anoint you to be a prophet in my house. And I got to go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I got to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. Elijah had to talk about it. And Elijah had to meditate it. Because if Elijah hadn't meditated, then he'd have never seen further into Hazael, how he was going to become king. It amazes me that Elijah said, God showed me. But it was actually God talking originally to Elijah. How many answers have we let go by us? How many solutions have we let go by us because we decided to let that last Sunday slip by us? Or the last Wednesday? Or that statement that our man or woman of God said to us that jumped out of us, we refuse to go over it again. Personal testimony. Meditating what your man or woman of God say. I never forget, an apostle had stood up one Sunday. Out the blue, he said, he was praying, and he said, Lord, we need to grow. Lord, if it, even if it's just an inch, we need to grow. That jumped out at me. The next day I had an appointment with my son. He hadn't grown in 2 years. That particular day, the doctor came to me and told me he grew an inch and a half. That's me grabbing hold and meditating. I didn't know what it was for. I really didn't know it was all about this. He said, Lord, I took it, Lord, we need to grow. We need to grow at least an inch. I wasn't even thinking about Leroy at the time. Lord, we need to grow. We need to grow an inch. Lord, I'm with apostles. We need to grow an inch. I see that, Lord. Show me how to grow an inch. Here, lo and behold, we go on the next day, and the doctor said he grew an inch and a half. And he's been growing ever since. See, your the solutions to the dilemmas that you're dealing with is, trust me, is in the mouth of your man or woman of God. But they're not, it's not on the surface.
Right.
You're going to have to meditate it. The walls of Jericho falling was not on the surface of what Moses said. It was within what Moses said. Joshua had to make up his mind. I'm going to dig for it. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to soak in this until it becomes one with me. I'm going to see this. So our imagination, I'm closing here. Our imagination, sometimes we feel like we feel, even this, even God, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Even God would give us a picture of what our future would look like. But the instruction to get there is in our man or woman of God's mouth. Because remember, Joshua already had a picture of what Jericho looked like. He had a physical picture. Because Moses sent 12 spies to go into Jericho. Listen, man, they had to go into Jericho. 10 of them came back with a negative report. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we were able to take them over. We're well able to get it. So he already had a picture, and God still told him when he got to the River Jordan, get ready to cross to go to Jericho. He said, I need you to see. And if he had not, listen to me very carefully, if he had not obeyed Joshua 1 verses 7 and 8, he'd have never got the instructions on how to obtain the wall of Jericho. What am I saying to you tonight? You need to do some more meditation. You need to do some more meditation, some more soaking. You ain't got to be trying to go figure out all what to soak. You can start off right here. God may take you other places, but you need to start based on what's coming out of your man or woman of God's mouth. Once that, you say, well, God's speaking to me. Okay, God's speaking to you. All right, go ahead. God's speaking to you. Go ahead. How that been working for you? God's speaking to me. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So what I promise you, if y'all spend 30 days doing this, some stuff that you've been dealing with for years, stuff clearing up, stuff, soul wounds that you ain't know existed. Sometimes meditating, your man or woman of God will expose wounds that you didn't know exist.
My God.
Are you seeing this? I'll see y'all next week. Thank you, sir.